right, this week we're talking about big purchases. Of course, in light of eternity, this is also known as the Wake Up, Mitch, This Podcast Is About You podcast. Because this is my jam. This is what I like to do. I like to make big purchases. This is going to be rough.
Don't worry about it. You're going to be fine. Before we dive in, I wanted to give a really quick shout out to a few listeners who were so kind as to go into iTunes and leave iTunes reviews. Thank you very much. Happy 1111111111.
I believe that's 111,111,111.
I think the point is she's very happy. That's what I'm getting from that. Thank you so much for your kind review. And also Vanessa 9489 and Calibrandon. We really appreciate you guys giving us the good reviews. It means a lot to us, actually. It's very encouraging, especially at the onset of our new podcast.
It does. It means I can do one more podcast because of all the kind words. Keep this thing going.
We've got to feed the beast like one crumb at a time, and then you'll take one more step forward. Is that how this works?
Yep.
Keep the reviews coming.
Give and take.
All right. Back to the topic, big purchases. We pretty much all make big purchases at different times during our lives. So many of us may have purchased a home or a vehicle or a boat, even a computer or a piece of furniture. These can be things that divert a large portion of our limited resources in this world. And because these are resources that God has entrusted us with for His glory, we need to be mindful and prayerful as we consider the purchases that we make. And we want to help you look at those purchases in light of the brevity of this life.
Yeah. So we need to figure out when to buy something, when not to buy something. We need to decide how much we're going to spend. All of these decisions we have to make are important and they matter when it comes to these big purchases that we're going to make.
Obviously, we can't tell you what you should do specifically because only God truly understands your situation and also your heart motivations. So what we can do is give you a few things to think about as you seek to examine your next big purchase in this light. And we want to point out that we desire to tread very carefully here because the last thing we want to do is take away freedom that God has given you to make purchases. And you do have freedom to make purchases, including big ones. Please hear us say that. We don't want to burden you with guilt or anything of the kind, but we want to breathe wisdom into your life.
We have cars and a house and computers and all of these things that we just listed off like 2 minutes ago. So,
yep.
We're in the boat too.
Yep. Our desire is to help you elevate your purchases and potential purchases from a temporary perspective to an eternal perspective. We want you to be able to consider whether there's a better lasting reward for you to grab onto in place of a temporary pleasure that you might be desiring and eyeing right now. We want this podcast to be a blessing to you that enhances your life, not a joy killer.
All right. So the first thing that we want to talk about is why do you want the thing that you're going to purchase? The big question, why?
As with anything, big purchases come down to the heart. And I have a feeling you're going to hear us a lot of times come back to that with each topic that we address. Motivation. What is your motivation for the thing you want? Do you have reasons that are rooted in wisdom? Or is it simply because you love the things of the world? Is your reason rooted in loving, serving, and blessing others? Or perhaps you're using that as an excuse to lavish your life with flashy yet fading things.
Can fall on different ends of the spectrum for the exact same purchase. I mean, two people could go purchase something, whatever it is, and their motivation and their reason could be totally different on why they're making that purchase or why that purchase needs to be made in their minds. And we need to pray and consider what God has for us in each one of these purchases.
And I think you can't look at someone else's life and judge this. This is not a thing that is clear cut in Scripture. All we can do is search our own heart and make our own decisions based on the convictions that God is giving us.
With prayer and with consulting God's word too.
Yes. 1 John 2:15, speaking of God's word, says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them." Those are incredibly strong words. What I take away from that and my application to making purchases, especially big purchases, is that if I notice in my heart, I love this thing, I have to have this thing, if I'm noticing an idol of things in the world, then I'm going to say absolutely no, because we cut sin out of our hearts and lives with ruthlessness.
Something that I try to do to help with this is eliminate purchases that are just made off the cuff. So when I'm considering making a big purchase and maybe I'm looking online or I'm standing in the store and I can either click the button or I can tell the salesman to go get me one, I try to, with my best of my ability, take a moment and say, do I really need to make this purchase? Why don't I just wait 24 hours, give it at least a day, and that way I can spend some time praying about it, thinking about it, talking with my spouse about it, and really searching what are my motivations for this? Do I even need it? And I find that a lot of times that'll help just cool off that urgent need to get the newest, greatest, latest, best thing, or the softest, pluffiest, that's a new word, couch, whatever it might be. Give it some time. See if you can be practical in that way.
We recently did this with patio furniture. In our world, patio furniture qualifies as a big purchase. So we had been looking at patio furniture quite a bit, starting when they very first were bringing it out at the beginning of summer, and kind of looking at our budget and just biding our time. We wanted something really comfortable and
had to fit all our needs.
Yeah. We really thought about it extensively and looked a lot, and we did end up finding exactly what we wanted. But it was expensive. So then we were watching it for a long time, and over the months and months of this process, I feel like the ulterior motivation for just everything to look perfect and beautiful on out on our screen and porch was revealed. And we ended up buying, what would you call those? Collapsible chairs?
Bag chairs.
We ended up buying 2 bag chairs. And
but we splurged. We got like the $27 ones.
Yes. So we upgraded from the $5 Bacchic bag chairs that we had already had. But those $27 chairs, 2 chairs, were a far cry from the like $1,000 luxurious set that we had wanted. But you know, it's amazing. I have been so content and happy because I feel like really over time, God showed me that that wasn't practical for us and it wasn't a need. And a really cool part to that story is Mitch's mom ended up bringing us a pretty cool outdoorsy type chair that we can put out there with our 2 little bag chairs. So now we have 3 chairs. They don't match, but it is perfectly adequate for our needs. And what I like the most, it would not have been wrong for us to buy patio furniture, but what I like the most is how I've seen my heart shift and how content and grateful I'm able to be with something that's not my perfect ideal. That's pretty cool.
I find that every time we make a sacrifice, it is rewarding for the heart. All right, so moving on here. Modesty. When I hear the word modesty, I think of clothing. I think of women. I think of high school youth group and all the girls getting together and having talks about modesty and how they're not going to wear spaghetti straps everywhere. Is this the only thing that modesty is?
You know, It's funny. I've been thinking about modesty and just growing in my understanding of modesty so much in recent months, even. And I have really started reflecting a lot on what it looks like for Christians to live a modest life. So, yes, how we dress and cover our bodies is part of that. But modesty is really a much bigger picture. And I feel like it has to do with choosing not to draw a bunch of attention to ourselves because we want to deflect it to God. In 1 Timothy 2:9 through 10, Paul writes, "I also want the women to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, adorning themselves not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God." Paul starts out talking to women about their clothing. He's saying, don't make it about getting attention for yourselves with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls, expensive clothing. He's not saying anything about being scantily dressed. He's talking about being flashy in our dress. And he wants us instead to use good deeds to make ourselves beautiful. Starts with clothing, but he turns a corner and makes it about good deeds. If immodesty in this scripture is about drawing attention to ourselves, we do that in so many other ways. If we have a bright red car that's the most expensive car in the whole town, we live in a small town, that is going to get a lot of attention. And I don't know if that's the most appropriate thing for those who profess to worship God. Why do we need to get all that attention for ourselves? Now, maybe we have some amazing reason, like God provided that car for us and we use it to spread the gospel with the attention that we get. I don't know your situation, but just in general, what are the things in your life that you use to get attention for yourself and your heart motivation is not good? Do you have the nicest house on the block? Is that essential for you?
I do have the nicest house on the block, but that's only because we have our own block.
So in the same way, if you need designer clothes, why do you need that? Maybe it's decorating. It's the finishes in your house that are really high end. Why is that necessary? Any of it about getting attention for yourself? And how can you make your next big purchase in a way that is modest so that you're diverting all attention and glory to God? That is what I would define as modest living. 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world."
That's absolutely true. And that part that talks about pride and possessions, you could put that towards modesty, but I almost put that on myself, as in I sometimes take pride in my possessions just for me. I just want to have the nicest stuff for me. I want to have the best for me. I want to do all these things for me. And that's extremely shallow and extremely a huge waste of time, because all of these things, they're not going to stand the test of time. We want to invest our things that are eternal.
That's the whole goal. That is so interesting for me to hear, because I would never struggle with that. Like, I'm all about impressing everybody else. None of it is just for self-satisfaction.
Well, typical female behavior.
So I'm glad you're bringing that struggle to light. Great point. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another." So as we are making purchases, we want to consider what it means to clothe ourselves with humility within our purchasing.
The next question we want you to ask yourself is this purchase that I'm making wise?
It can be so easy to get drawn in by the things of the world because they're shiny. And when you start looking for a new car or a new house or a new computer or whatever a big purchase is in your world, a new piece of furniture, there are a lot of reasons to keep desiring something nicer and more expensive and nicer and more expensive. There are temptations to spend more and more money until you find yourself at the very top end of your budget or even going over it because suddenly the allure of the world has just completely pulled us in. I know it's a struggle for me, and I just think it's so critical that we take a huge step back and look at things with wisdom, look at our financial situation. We don't need to max out our budget when we're buying a house. I know when we bought our first house, we were approved for a budget, a loan of up to, perhaps it was like $235,000 or something like that. However, we knew that in a few years, we hoped to start having children. And when we did, we wanted me to be able to quit working and stay home with the kids. That was just a desire that both of us had for our family. So when we went to buy a house, we had to keep ourselves in check and say, you know what, all that nice, beautiful, updated stuff that we're seeing that we're approved for, we're going to say no to that because we have goals and we have things that are more important to us. So we're going to exercise wisdom and we're going to choose something much, much less than what we could have. And in some ways that was difficult. We ended up moving into a home that needed a lot of work and we put in a lot of work to get it to be livable and ultimately a really nice place for us to raise our family. But it's tough. I mean, I think what we just want to say to you is all the nice things that we see and might want, we need to keep those desires in check with what is reality, what is our financial situation. Because too often we obligate ourselves to living a lifestyle we don't want, where we have to work extra jobs and extra hours just to keep this home or vehicle or whatever the thing is to be able to make the payments on it. And we want you guys to have freedom financially when you're making big purchases. I know one of the elements of the armor of God, the spiritual armor, is feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel. And to me, part of that readiness for me is being debt free. If we're debt free, we are so available to God to just run wherever he calls us at even a moment's notice. And that's really something special and important and valuable to us in our family. It is more important for us to be freed up to run after God's calling at any moment, or freed up to be able to funnel our resources towards the kingdom of God, or freed up to work less so that we can invest more in our family, in our children, and in ministry.
Absolutely. And don't forget that you don't have to do any of this on your own. And I really encourage you to find somebody that can speak truth into you. And if you want to share that information with them and you want to consult them, I think that's a good thing. That's a good thing not only for that relationship, but that's a good thing for your financial freedom throughout life. So just make sure that you're not trying to throw all this on yourself, but instead consulting those that you know have wisdom in this area around you, because there are a lot of people out there that have wisdom.
I feel like people love to tell us what we want to hear. So if we are like, oh, these shoes are $125, but I really like them, what do you think? Especially as women, we're inclined to be like, you know what? They are so cute. I think you should just go for it. People want to tell us what we want to hear, but it's also important to surround ourselves with people who are truly heavenly minded and wise, that are not going to be drawn in by the allure of the world, but that can really look objectively and say, well, what's your clothing budget for this month? It's only $40. You know what? I think you should just stick within that budget and find a pair of shoes for $40. We need those wise, grounded people in our lives.
Sticks in the mud can be pretty good.
Mitch's favorite question for me is when I get an idea or I show him something that I want to spend money on, he loves to ask me,
how are you going to pay for that?
It is quite deflating, but I'm the wow, he's the how in this relationship when it comes to ideas.
Someone's gonna be strong. another thing we want you to consider when you go into making these big purchases is keep in mind those three things, but also what is the trade-off? What are you giving up in order to make this purchase?
This is simple math, and you probably don't know this about Mitch. I don't know if we've mentioned it, but he is a former high school math teacher. So he brings the math education factor into our home on a daily basis. But it's simple math. Every dollar that you spend on yourself, let's say you get a mani-pedi, that is conceivably $30 to $50 that cannot feed a family that's struggling to survive. And I don't want to over-dramatize that, but I do want you to understand that your dollars have been entrusted to you to steward. And the church globally is expected to meet the needs of one another. Those who have plenty are expected to meet the needs of those who do not have enough. In your context, you might be surrounded by people who don't have a lot of needs, but I guarantee you that there are people around the world who need our help, who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I am a firm believer in supporting the church globally. We see this in scripture, and this is critical. And we know that every sacrifice we make for the sake of the kingdom of God is going to be rewarded in eternity. So your, let's call it $40 on your mani-pedi, can get you great nails for like 2 weeks, or it can potentially gain you treasures in heaven. And I have nothing against mani-pedis. I have gotten them before. But we just really need to consider the trade-off so that we are making a wise choice in light of eternity.
And I don't know, maybe a mani-pedi is not a big purchase for you, and that's kind of what we were talking about. But God has a purpose in every purchase, big or small.
One last scripture that I want to leave you with is Luke 16, 11 through 12. It's Jesus talking, and he says, "If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own?" You may or may not recognize this, but everything you have belongs to God. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." There is nothing, you can look around you right now, maybe you're driving in a car, maybe you're at your kitchen sink, there is nothing in your realm that is yours. It's the Lord's and you are in charge of it. So how are you going to steward it well? How are you going to be trustworthy and wise when it does come to making these big purchases, which carry a little bit more weight than a mani-pedi? If you're looking at spending $30,000 on a minivan or getting the dumbed-down version and spending $20,000 and giving $10,000 to a family in need in your life, that's a pretty big difference. So we need to be sure, above all else, that we are trustworthy to what God is asking us to do. That means we walk in obedience and faith. That's what it all comes down to, obedience and faith. That's the goal.
That is the ultimate goal, and that's our prayer for you guys, and we hope that you are walking closely with Jesus and that next time this week or this month or this quarter or this year or whenever it is that you're going to make your next big purchase, or whenever it is that you're going to make a medium purchase, or maybe even a small purchase, just that you'll consider, what does God have in this for me? That's the question we want you to ask. Spend some time in prayer.
And I will put together a list of the thought questions that we have compiled and include a download link with the show notes, because we want you to be able to reflect as these things come up. We know probably most of you are not in the middle of making a big purchase right now, but we want a resource that you can look back on. And we hope you have a great day.